Hello and welcome to the Faith and Family Matters podcast, the show where we talk about ways to build our faith and strengthen our marriages and families. My name is William Hemphill, and I am the host of the Faith and Family Matters podcast. I am a pastoral counselor and ordained clergy. Today, I want to talk about part three of surviving the silent treatment. Part three of surviving the silent treatment, and that is how the silent treatment affects the giver and the receiver. We've talked about how the silent treatment occurs as a reaction to conflict between spouses. The silent treatment occurs whenever a couple gets in the conflict and one partner shuts down or goes silent. We talked about how this silence is a reaction to being emotionally triggered in conflict with your spouse. And silence is often a part of withdrawal whenever a situation gets too tense. The silent party has made the decision that it would be better to keep quiet than to escalate a situation. We've also talked about how sometimes the silent party will use their silence as a weapon or a form of punishment. The person who has gone silent is hoping to change the behavior of their spouse by being silent or withholding connection. We talked about that is unsafe because we are withholding connection and intimacy from our spouse. Today, I want to talk a little bit about how the silent treatment affects both parties, the receiver and the giver. First, I want to talk about the receiver of the silent treatment. Imagine that you get in a conflict with your spouse. In the midst of that conflict, you either say or do something and your spouse gets triggered and goes silent. What do you do? Well, if you care about your spouse, you might pursue them. You might apologize for what you said or did. You may buy flowers or cook a meal or do something in an attempt to bring back connection or reconnect with your spouse. You are attempting to reconnect because as human beings, our greatest desire is to be in relationship with other people. In addition, that desire to reconnect or connect is compounded when we are in romantic relationships. Because romantic relationships are one of our highest forms of love or attachment, if we're using the clinical term, attachment. The silence for the person who is the receiver of the silent treatment produces anxiety. Anxiety is that nervousness or fear that comes when we fear losing connection with our spouses. We feel like we're going to lose their love, their acceptance, and their trust. And so we become anxious as the receiver of the silent treatment. The silence disconnects the receiver from the giver. And that is fear or anxiety provoking, especially if the receiver has a family history of maybe abandonment or neglect or something like that. If the person has a history of abandonment, let's say their parents left at an early age or siblings left, or they've been abandoned, maybe divorced or something like that, that produces anxiety when they are the receiver of the silent treatment, because behind that anxiety is a fear of being abandoned. Now imagine that silence occurring for an indeterminate period of time. In other words, no matter what the receiver says or does, they are greeted with silence and are being ignored. They could apologize for hours, do something for days, but however long they may do it, the silence is occurring for an undetermined period of time as far as the receiver occurs. That silence becomes emotionally unsafe. A fear of abandonment occurs. This is why John Gottman recommends a time period of 20 minutes to hopefully no more than 24 hours when we take time out to calm down from conflict. Because that's enough time to reduce the emotional pain, but also gives us a guideline on when to come back and reconnect so that the fear of abandonment does not overtake our relationship. The indeterminate period of silence means that the giver of the silent treatment is not caring for their heart in such a way that they can come back and communicate safely. The giver of the silent treatment, when they are giving the silent treatment, it means that they are not caring for the emotional wounds of their heart, and so they are not ready to come back safely. And what happens is the receiver of the silent treatment feels that pain, especially if they know they've done something that has offended the giver. Here's another thing. Sometimes it's unfair. It's unfair because the receiver of the treatment may not know what they said or did. And an inability to communicate about what occurred increases the anxiety and the fear of disconnection. So the silent treatment then produces anxiety and a fear of disconnection or abandonment in the receiver of the treatment if they still care. Now, there are some instances when the receiver of the silent treatment will, quote unquote, no longer care. But that's another subject for another day. And I would definitely like to add to that. If the receiver is no longer caring about the silent treatment, then your relationship is in a real dangerous area. The silent treatment also affects the one who is giving the silent treatment or the giver of the treatment. This person has gone silent because a button has been pressed and they are feeling emotional pain. Emotional pain caused by an action done by the receiver. The giver's button has been pressed and they go silent. However, if they are not caring for their hearts, the giver, they are creating further disconnect in the relationship. The giver may have a desire for healing or may want an apology or an acknowledgement of their pain, but their silence or shutdown keeps them from the very thing that they really want, to reconnect in an emotionally safe manner. That disconnect and silence also builds the giver's anxiety, because they may be ruminating in their minds or thinking about the offense over and over again. They may also be thinking historically, or sometimes I call it hysterically, going back to every offense that had been experienced within the relationship. Sometimes these reactions may also come from past wounds that are not even known or recognized by the giver. But in any case, when the giver is ruminating or thinking about the offense over and over again, it does not allow the giver to care for their hearts or their wounds. Instead, it amplifies the pain. Then, adding to it, if the giver is using silence as punishment, they are committing to holding their silence for an undetermined period of time, a time in which bitterness and pain can also build in the giver's heart. So another way to look at it is that the silent treatment is dangerous and anxiety-producing for both the giver and the receiver. It's dangerous because it leaves both parties feeling anxiety and feeling disconnected from each other. Next time, we want to talk about the danger of disconnect in a marital relationship. The dangers of disconnect, because when we stay disconnected for a long period of time, it can be dangerous to our marital relationship. This is William Hemphill, host of the Faith and Family Matters podcast. If you would like to know more about me or work with me, please go to my website at www.faithandfamilyempowerment.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, and have a wonderful week.